Can you believe that for the last, week and a half, I've been saying, everyone, welcome to the Kinda Funny Morning Show. It's August 20th, and finally someone's like, it's September. we didn't just scratch the surface of September. We're almost done with September, Scarpino. Get your shit together.
Nothing about what you said rang any, like, warning bells.
No, right, head. Exactly. It's August. Clearly August. No. August came and went. August is in the past. We are in September. It is September 20th. We are just vastly approaching one of my favorite holidays, if not my all-time favorite holiday, which is, of course,
Halloween.
That's right. I like to say the Halloween series was designed for me because it's bookended by my two favorite holidays. And then, of course, the icing on the cake, or the fondant, as some people like to say, is, of course, my birthday, which is in January.
Oh. Nobody likes fondant.
Nobody likes fondant.
It's fondant, Nick.
It's disgusting.
It is.
It is disgusting.
Yeah, but it looks real pretty.
It does not look pretty. I'll actually argue. Frosting's prettier. Fondant is like...
It's too perfect?
It's just... It looks like fucking...
Play-Doh.
It's disgusting. We are, of course, I should note, joined by a special guest today. All day today, we are graced with the magical presence of Mr. Brandon Jones. He is over in the corner because he doesn't want to fully commit to being on these shenanigans.
I also really like Halloween, and my birthday is also in January, so...
Oh my gosh! Oh,
shit. I'm January 13th. When are you?
20th,
okay. Yeah. I think my friend Ty's birthday is the 20th.
On the same day.
Is it?
I'll let you celebrate first.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's fantastic. I will say this. The reason why cakes and frosting and all these things are in my mind right now.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Brandon's going to be on Kinda Funny Games Daily and Gamescast today, so you can look for that.
Woo!
And we're going to be talking a lot of Red Dead, so keep your eyes out for that. Because of GOG yesterday, Andy mentioned two shows.
Uh-huh.
If you guys did not watch live, you really missed out, because we had a great conversation about a show that Andy watched in Britain about naked people. But we'll save that for next week when that goes live. He also brought up a show that I have had in my peripherals for a while.
Okay.
We've been orbiting around each other for a while.
Mm.
But I have not
tier Earth.
Deigned to land on said show and vice versa.
Got it.
The Great British Baking Show.
Great British Bake Off. So good. Wait. Did you start from the beginning?
Fuck no. I started in season 5. I don't care. I want the new shit. Daddy wants the new shit.
You have to appreciate Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood.
Listen.
No, their old hosts are so much better than their new hosts.
Have you watched this show?
Clips. Yeah, just a scene here and
there. It's just a wholesome,
yeah,
good show.
It is the antithesis of everything that is American, which is probably why I like it a lot. It's such a uniquely different vibe than the shows we have here,
yeah,
where people are kind of shitty to each other,
and it's so hyper competitive.
Yeah. And like when people leave the show, they just leave in tears, and you can tell that their life's never going to be as good as it was when they were on that show.
Yeah.
Nor should it be, because they're fucking failures, and they deserve to just fucking go away
and never be in the public eye again. Clearly, you need to watch more Great British Bake Off.
The Great British Bake Off is just a lovely. They're in a tent. Everything's well lit.
In like the English countryside.
And they go like this, like the second episode of season 5, they were like this, and now your challenge today, and like kind of dramatic, not really dramatic music, but just kind of like a little tension building music, and it builds, and the host stops for a second and goes, biscuits. And then they just have to cook biscuits for like an hour. Mm-hmm. It is fucking so great. Like the first episode of season 5, they have to make these fruity cakes, as they call them, fruity cakes. Spongy fruity cakes. It's great.
It's just so good.
It's just so beautiful. And even the people that left the show were like, "Yeah, I get." Like, it's so quaintly British. They get kicked off. Like, be honest with you, I can see why they picked this. I could have done a little better, but they made the right choice. In America, the people are like, you know, we're trying not to fucking off themselves when they get kicked off these shows because they're just shamed.
But like,
they're
shamed. What I think is so funny about the Great British Bake Off is that they're always so hard on themselves during the process, like, and so worried about everything, like, oh my gosh, is it going to work and all this stuff, versus like the American version is like, well, mine's better than that one and that one sucks.
Oh no,
it's
they're
like,
all
it's all like
all
way more introspective.
Oh yeah.
Of like, it's like almost competition with yourself to be as good as what you did like at home when you practice or whatever.
It's interesting too, because I don't know how they pull people for the Bake Off. But they're not bakers. They're not professionals.
Which I love. It's like, great. I have like a day job as an accountant.
Yeah, this like one guy's a finance guy. The one kid that's on is 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I learned how to bake from my mom. I've been baking for like 4 years. And he doesn't have like, he's got really good elements, but he doesn't have the actual like
the technical.
Like the technical.
Yeah.
And man, they do the technical challenge. And I'm like, that's easy. and people just fail.
Because they don't really give you, they only give you like base instructions and you have to figure it out.
Glad you asked. During the biscuit.
I did ask.
What did you
ask? During the biscuit challenge, mm-hmm. they had to make fortune cookies. And I finally saw how they actually do that. And I'm like, that's fascinating. They fold them into a taco. Mm-hmm. They said basically, here's how you do the things, but they don't tell them how to make the shape.
Oh.
But they give them the hint of you have to use the rim of a glass. So people are like folding these over the rim of a glass, like, I don't understand how to get this shape. What you have to do is fold it into a taco first and then bend it quickly over the glass and then put it in a cupcake pan so it keeps the shape. Genius.
What did they think you had to do?
No one could figure, like, people weren't good at the
Oh, they thought the they had to, like, functionality. Form it around the side of the glass.
Yeah, they were like,
something.
Some people were doing it this way, some people, to put in context, some people were like, they were bending it and then folding it over this way, but instead of, they just couldn't, like, one person two people just shit the bed completely on trying to get the shape.
Yeah.
The old woman that was in it was
Do you
just,
have an
made
example in front of you so you can, like, see the shape?
If you gave, no. Oh. I mean, you have to know what a fortune cookie looks like.
Because, like, I could tell you what it looks like, but having one in front of you so you could, like, see the exact...
Reverse engineer it?
Yeah, exactly.
It was hard. Some people figured it out. Some people did not figure it out. Mm. And it was brutal.
You have to start from the beginning because I'm going to be very upset if you don't understand the relationship between Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood.
Who is Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood?
They're not the two. They're the two, like, main judges.
Yeah. Are they still on the show?
I think season five they bring in new shows.
No, I think Paul Hollywood's the guy because one of the guys, like, Paul Hollywood shook my hand.
Was it like an older, like a grandma-looking woman?
An amazingly dressed, like fabulously dressed grandma-looking woman who was unbelievably styled, and then a guy who needs to stop using gel in his hair.
Is her?
No, that is not her.
Okay,
that
Mary Berry is a British national treasure. I think the two hosts, because is it, the one you're watching has like Noel Fielding, like the comedian?
Yeah, he's kind of a British rocker looking dude.
Yeah, so they used to have two different hosts, like the hosts of the actual show, and then they had two different judges. The two hosts and one of the judges left after season 4, so you have Paul Hollywood and like essentially three new cast members.
Okay. I'm gonna probably work my way through this because it's so beautiful.
I'm so mad that Andy's not here because Andy also a huge Great British Bake Off fan. I don't know if he's awake.
Call Andy Cortez.
Calling 10.
I guess we're gonna find out. You have to go back because there's one dramatic scene in a season.
I bet it's not that dramatic though. That's why I love this show.
But it's perfectly Britishly dramatic.
That's why I love this show. Because it's British drama is like all subtext. It's not actually explicitly stated.
But this is like actually kind of dramatic.
I wish Andy would answer his stupid
phone. Any great British Bake Off fans out there know exactly what
it is. Is it that hard? It's like a millennial thing, you know? Like I always answer my phone. I have to.
The Project 5 subscriber you have called.
She left a message. Damn it.
Pure disappointment.
It is pure disappointment, ladies and gentlemen. But the rest of the day is not going to be disappointment. The rest of the day is going to be a whip, bang, boom, just laugh riot. Started kicking it off with the morning show. Then, of course, we have a special guest.
Whip, bam, boom,
yeah.
Laugh, riot.
Yeah, that's an old school saying.
I don't know this.
It sounds like the song from Grease.
Ram-a-lama ding dong.
Uh-huh.
Your coffee smells amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Of course, this is the Kind of Funny morning show. If you're watching live with us, thank you so much. Just like Jonah8143 says, saw Netflix, it should be easy to watch at least in the UK. I think you're saying the show that we're talking about is in fact, yes, on Netflix. Of course, if you're not watching this and you do watch the Great British Bake Off, is that what it's called? I call it Baking Show.
I think
show.
It's, so the on Netflix, it's the Great British Baking Show because Bake Off is trademarked by Pillsbury, so they can't use the
Fuck
British
you,
title.
Pillsbury. Actually, no, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm going to take that back. I like Pillsbury.
You like the little doughboy?
Yeah, I'm going to take it back.
Like giggles, you know?
I'm going to pull that anger back a little bit because I don't know if they own Entenmann's.
I have no idea.
If they don't own Entenmann's, fuck you, Pillsbury. Pillsbury, okay? Let the Brits be the Brits. If they do own Entenmann's, my bad.
You just like those little powdered donuts?
More than you could even imagine. Unless they're dried out.
Oh.
When you take the, you know when you're on craft service sometimes and they have the powdered donuts but they've been sitting out for a while and you put them in your mouth and it sucks all the moisture out of your face into the donut. You're like, wah!
It's because all the powdered sugar
you're trying to swallow
like,
it and someone's like, you look like a dog that took too big of a bite out of a fucking ball. You know?
Yeah. All that peanut butter?
No, that's this. I'm talking about
what other dog impressions can
when
you
the dog eat something that it knows it's not supposed to eat, and it's like rubber, and it can't swallow. It's like, yeah. And you're like, well, now I have to
like
figure
Portillo
out
did yesterday. Heimlich on a dog.
You gotta
three
take
times.
It and just shake it really fast so the thing spits out of its mouth.
No. Oh, so.
No, Portillo does it all the time. Portillo will walk over, he'll just look at something and be like, clearly I can't eat that. And then immediately eat it and then go.
Yeah, Portillo.
Three times yesterday, I had to like shove my hand into his mouth and pull something out. No idea what it was. I refused to look because I would rather not know.
I've seen him eat
like,
bugs.
Greg and Jen, come back on Friday. Oh, you got two more days. You're not allowed to like kill yourself.
God, I love
Portillo.
It.
Portillo, stay alive for two more days.
Oh, man. All right. This episode of the Kinda Funny Morning Show is brought to you by Slack and Simply Safe. We'll read those later when we give away two games. Right now, let's go into some housekeeping.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
The top on housekeeping, I noticed that a lot of you were appreciating the party that we had yesterday. So we're going to keep that party going.
Oh my gosh.
Here it is right here. This is the last of the good stuff. They don't sell this vintage anymore of DC.
A vintage 2018.
This is a 2018 vintage. It's a September or August, depending on what state of mind I'm in. Vintage, we're just going to do that right here. Of course, if you're watching along with us in our Spider-Man in review series, we are up to Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, which came out this morning, right?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. Interesting watch, I will say. Brandon, how long has it been since you've seen The Amazing Spider-Man starring Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone?
Years, but as long as we're talking Netflix new stuff, yeah. Spider-Man 3's on there. And you got to do that.
We did that last week.
I'm not saying you have to review as Kind of Funny. You as a human being should watch Spider-Man 3 again.
Long has it been since you watched it?
Since Spider-Man 3? Yeah. A long, long time.
Would you believe that if you go back and watch it, upon second viewing later, it's actually worse?
I don't know about worse, because nothing compares to being in the theater and just seeing that house of cards come crashing down. But it's fascinating because actually, like, the best moment is the first minute, and then the next worst is the second minute, and then it just slaloms straight
There's
down.
There's no
the
entire redemption. Film.
It just goes. Even to the point where they had him do his own hair at one scene where he's like,
yeah,
that's better. Like, no, it's not. It's not better.
That's like the go-to scene to make fun of that movie, and you're really shortchanging yourself. There's so many other opportunities to make fun of that film.
I mean, he
throws a grenade just at James Franco's face. Doesn't even care. I love it.
Doesn't give a shit. Should have just totally killed him. But
Amazing Spider-Man, since it came out, I saw that in theaters. That was it.
Well, you guys want to watch along with us, of course, we are doing Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is next week, and then we're going to round it off with Venom. Rank all of those movies, of course.
We should buy tickets for that, huh?
Yeah, we should probably get on that. Let's just do it later. Don't worry about it. And of course, if you're playing along and with Spider-Man PS4, it's Spider-Man month. We're loving Spider-Man. We're all about Spider-Man. If you guys want to back us the fan mail tier on either of our Patreons, we're giving away this exclusive PS4 shirtless Spider-Man cover. And over on our Patreon Prime, we are giving away an exclusive Panda Musk art. Go to the next one, Kev.
Now, are we giving it away?
If you're backing us the fan mail tier.
Okay.
We are giving you an exclusive art
print.
Art print. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. Oh. I'm going to get through it. Don't worry about it. Yes, kids, let's save all the questions for after this, okay? Let me just get through this one read. We're giving this exclusive Panda Musk inspired and painted, Shirtless Spider-Man inspired, I should say, art print. Those are coming hot into your mailbox, which I'm assuming are still on fire since everyone has been delivered the champ headshots from last month. And boy, oh boy. We got three more to send out.
Yeah.
Because we needed to print more because I went a little crazy with some of the... Joey had to veto some of the things that I said.
Yeah.
Because they were just a little too intense to be... I was like, does this technically rank as sexual harassment?
Oh, Lord.
And you were like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you can't
say
that out loud.
Maybe leave your phone number off.
Yeah, can't do that. Some of them, pure gold. The subreddit for the whole beginning of this week was just pictures of people's pictures that they got, which I appreciated.
I love it. You know it's a good... You know you've done a good thing when your subreddit gets to the point where someone has to say, can we just put these on one mega thread? Can you stop spamming the subreddit with this? Mm-hmm. And then someone else just puts another picture up as a response. You know you've made it in life when just the image of you can be a response to someone's snarky, shitty comment. Actually, it wasn't a snarky, shitty comment. It was like, the guy was like, let's put this in a thread so we can enjoy them all. But I like to just pretend.
But then Reddit doesn't have them natively in the threads. You have to click the link.
I know.
Yeah, it's no good. It's
not Reddit's one of those very amazing places where you're like, I instantly vibe with you because you're already antiquated. Everything about it screams 1997 BBS and it's the best. What is this?
You put speaking this on of Reddit, yeah. over on our subreddit, the kind of funny UK EGX community meetup details are on there. so if you have any questions, you can contact Cam. He's the OP of the post. So on Friday, everyone's going to Brewdog, which was, I believe, the place that Tim said he's had his favorite beer of all time.
That's the new beer, the new his new
the
jam.
New IPA. So they have the downtown or the downstairs section, and then Saturday they're doing they're gonna do like a meetup for the Pokemon Go community day. So that'll be really fun.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
You can meet at the Birmingham Cathedral. If you are going to EGX, you awesome. If you're not going, you can still go to this stuff because it doesn't require a badge. So yeah, contact Cam over on the subreddit if you have any questions or details.
Very cool.
UK crew is showing up.
We're
in
all
last
we're all
weeks.
UK now, man. I'll tell you that right now. Like I'm all about UK. I'm all in. I loved London before, but now with
London's
with,
so awesome
with the advent of the Great British Bake Off, mm-hmm. I'm all in. They're
That's
so
what you
cheeky.
Wanted.
There was actually one point during which one of the people on the show was talking. Mm-hmm. And I turned to my wife and I was like, did you understand anything she said? And she was like, no, but it
That's
was so
subtitle.
Beautifully quaint.
Yeah.
It was so beautifully quaint. Because there's like one of the contestants on season five is like, she's British, but she's also like Siberian. So she has a weird British Russian accent that's just, it kind of comes off like you're speaking Gaelic. It's very weird.
That's interesting.
But she's good.
Also,
I already have my fan favorite, by the way.
Did you have any idea that there were this many different types of like pastries to bake?
No, not only that,
either.
But and my wife brought up a very good point when we were watching. She was like, you wouldn't necessarily, when you think baked goods, you don't necessarily think England. You think pastries, maybe. You think France. But baked goods, I don't really have an expectation that England is going to be good or bad at them. I just don't think. I think
it's not
biscuits,
an association.
No, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Before people start jumping down my throat. In the Twitch chat, or if you're watching this on YouTube, in the comments, I like a good biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I gotta get in my fucking nose. My nose. Ah. I love a good biscuit and tea, uh-huh. but what I call biscuit and coffee, because I mean, I don't drink tea.
Which, are you referring to the British biscuit or the American biscuit?
No.
This is what, we need to all get on the same page about stuff. This is too confusing.
First off, okay, yes, to clarify, thank you. I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Because I don't eat American biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
American biscuits are more like a muffin. Sort of.
Are they?
Well, they're like a savory muffin. You're talking, when you say biscuit in the UK, for, Jesus Christ, I just put so much dirt up my nose. But you know what? It's clogging up the sinus. It's working. It's fine. It's good. It's good. That was it. We'll call that just a jury-rigged solution. The biscuit in the UK, of course, you're talking about the cookie. Mm-hmm. It's what we call a cookie.
Yeah.
Our biscuits are giant fluffy things that we use to sop
buttery
up gravy,
goodness.
And they're amazing, unless they're done wrong, in which case you want to take them
hard.
And just hurl them through the wall. Just, bah, you know?
Like and they would make star. A hole straight through whatever yeah. material that
That's,
is.
I love biscuits until I don't love biscuits in America. Does that make sense?
No.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, this is going to be good.
Got it.
Like, how many times have you said, Kevin knows what I'm talking about. You sit down, you're like, this biscuit's going to be so fucking good. And no amount of gravy can make up for the dryness of it.
Oh,
it's
okay.
disturbing.
Oh, I love dry biscuits.
I hate dry biscuits.
I feel like the dry biscuits have the same issue as the powdered donuts.
They do. You got to get them while they're fresh. If not, they sop up all the moisture in your mouth. All your face moisture goes
how
into
do you
the biscuit.
Like that, Kevin?
It just feels good. It's like something someone made that's supposed to like yeah, last forever, and you're eating it, and you're like, oh man, I could eat this now, or I can eat this in 2 years, and it'll be fine.
Some part of Kevin is like a frontiers person, like a frontiersman, mm-hmm. where he just-
I respect that.
Yeah, Brandon respect that. Like where you have to have the food where you wrap up in a napkin,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it has
yeah,
to be able to last you for like 6 months, so like yeah, beef yes. jerky, dry biscuits, seeds, any
something
sort of
that's
seed.
Pickled.
Any, yeah, some
oh,
sort of,
I love pickled stuff.
Oh, I like pickled stuff, too.
Which makes sense, because Kevin has an MRE in the other room that he's very excited to eat at some point.
Someday.
Voluntarily.
But that Why? Came with, like, a game pack, right? Yeah, didn't that come with something?
But I still don't understand.
MRE.
But I don't understand, like, you don't have, there's way better things that you could eat.
Yeah, but one day I'm going to come in here, it's going to be, like, 3 a.m, and I'll be like, I need something of substance, and all we're going to have is, like, cookies and stuff, and I'll be like, I already ate too many cookies. I want to eat this weird taco mix spaghetti thing.
I just feel like that's going to make you shit your pants.
No, dude.
I just
you've
feel
got
like,
a weak stomach, Nick.
I have a normal stomach where I just, I don't know. All right, let's move on. It's tip time.
Give me your fucking money!
If you want to tip us at the $5 above level, we will take those tips. We will read those comments. If you want to, if you have some cheers accumulated, however the fuck Twitch accumulates cheers, we will take comments at the 500 cheer or above. Yesterday we got a complaint because someone gave us what they thought was a $10 worth of cheers, and it came in at 300 cheers. It was weird.
Well, you have to buy the cheers.
You can earn
from
them
Twitch,
too, right?
Yes, but not in the quantity that I think it's like 5 bits at a time or 5 cheers or whatever. And then you have to then you can allocate those accordingly. So I wonder if he bought the $10 worth and then just didn't give them all to us.
It's possible. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. 99% of the world's problems are user error. So that's a possibility that that's the case. Who knows? No one knows. Robin Gio has given us a tip. Thank God. Robin Gio was gone for a very long time, during which we missed out on our daily Swedish king pictures. So he has given us yet another one. Let's see him. God, he's a beautiful man. God, he is such a beautiful man. He looks a little like a scared ostrich. Does he not?
He looks like he's just been caught off guard.
Yeah, always.
I thought that was Jim Broadbent for a second.
No, this is the...
Broadbent
the
could play him in a heartbeat.
This is the king of Sweden, who is a man that my life goal is to meet him one day and just hang out with him. Because doesn't he look like he's fun to hang out with? Like, tell me he's not like this. Great, we're done for the day. Let's go directly to the pub and let's just get fucking smashed. And I'm going to tell you stories about how, like, I've had people killed. You're like, all right, cool, let's go. It's going to be fun.
Okay, so I've been on the show a lot in these past few weeks. I still don't know where your love affair with this man's, like, how did, what's the beginning
missed,
of this?
Like, there's been lots and lots of photos of him, and in a lot of them he's, like, holding a gun and smiling, and but, like, in a ridiculous outfit where you're like, what royal person would choose to wear that outfit?
Yeah.
And he just looks like, you know, he's... having the most fun ever being king.
But how
he
did
looks
you like find
a,
him?
Because Robin GL tips us every day and gives us our daily Swedish king picture.
Got it.
He was like,
Robin
if you
GL
think,
from Sweden.
Yeah.
Yes,
so he was like, if you think, I forget how it came up, but I was like, our president's insane. And he was like, you think you're the person who leads your company's crunch is crazy? Check this motherfucker out. And the first picture he sent us was like, when you can't, do you have kids?
No.
No. Like, so it's what I imagine it's like when your kid goes, I'm going to dress myself today.
Yeah.
And you're like, no. And the kid's like, I will not leave this house unless you let me dress myself. And they're like, fine. And then your kid has to go to school in cowboy boots and a fucking tutu.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this, that's
he's
what
the
this
king.
Guy is.
Who's going to stop him?
But he's the king.
He can wear whatever he wants.
And he just keeps, like, he has the crazy eyes where he's like, I'm just having a great time. Like, no one can stop me. I'm the king. And I got to be honest with you. I vibe with that energy. Because I am the king of my own life.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop me from wearing whatever I want unless that person is my wife or any of you who shame me in this office.
Yeah, and D just throws things away.
No, D just, I'll just be like this. Like I told you, our methodology for how I
the hangers.
The hangers.
It's a great, great idea.
Have I told you this?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Because now. We have, you guys get a lot of swag, right? People just send you
sure.
shirts and shit
yeah.
all the time, right? And you're like, I kind of like this. But I'm always lukewarm on 90% of them. But I'll bring them home. My wife got so tired of me just crowding I would just stuff them in my, that she finally was like this, I'm only allotting a limited number of hangers in the house. So if you want a shirt, you gotta take another shirt off a hanger and throw it away or donate it. So if you go into my closet, it is perfectly partitioned hangers. And that is it. Like, they're perfectly evenly spaced, color
like
coordinated.
One finger space between them,
it's
the dream.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
too much?
She might be a serial killer. Who the hell cares, though? Because my wardrobe stays fresh. And so that's all that matters. All right, we'll check back in on tips in a couple seconds. But now they got a lot of great news stories. I'm happy about that. Let's go into them. The news. I woke up to this news story today, and let me tell you, nothing could have got me out of bed.
Really?
Nothing could have got me out of bed this morning until I saw this. And I was like, I'm coming. I'm coming to talk to Mr. Yasman 300 in the chat about this. Carrie Fukunaga to direct James Bond 25, confirmed via The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh.
Of course, you know James Bond 25 has had a little bit of a tough time finding a director. Danny Boyle was on the project, was rewriting the script, was like, fuck this, I'm out, left, left Barbara Broccoli in a little bit of a pickle. She's like, let's bring some other writers
Barbara
back in.
Barbara Broccoli sounds like a fake name.
Broccoli does sound like a fake name, but that's how you say their last name. Left them in a pickle. They brought two more writers in to try to triage this. And then finally, they were talking about to a number of directors, and they've settled apparently on Cary Fukunaga. And if you're asking yourself, hey, Nick, yes, the man's last name is really fun to say, but what has he worked on? He is the mm-hmm. person who gave us True Detective Season 1.
Woo!
And if you remember correctly, we don't talk about Season 2 in this house.
No.
But Season 1 was probably top 10 best HBO, like, first seasons ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Maybe top 5. Phenomenal show. Which they just took and drove directly into the fucking ground with season 2.
Second season, I was really hyped for. Man, I can't. Syllables are hard.
He also directed a movie called Sid and Ombre, which is really good.
Because they had Taylor Kitsch, who I love, Rachel McAdams, Colin Farrell.
Great cast. But here's where you start to get into the minutiae of filmmaking. Before I finish that statement, Brandon Jones from Easy Allies, did you have a comment about this? Are you excited about this?
I'm excited, yeah. True Detective Season 1 was amazing.
And here's where you get...
double down on your sentiment.
I appreciate that. Okay. Here's where you get into why a director makes all the difference, right? Why a showrunner, I should say, makes all the difference. He helms the first season, right? It had that specific... It had his artist trademark on it. We got that long shot that was in the middle. It was eerie as fuck. It was unsettling. He nailed the tone. The casting was great. The dynamic between McConaughey's weird ass, character and Woody Harrelson's like aging veteran character was just perfectly nailed. The time jumps were great. Everything was good. So what did they do to recapture that madness? They brought in the guy that directed Fast and Furious. And they were like, nuanced performance. You know great writing and great dialogue and how to really coax performance out of Academy Award winning.
You're saying a lot of things you can't take back. You're saying a lot of things you won't be able to take back. I'm just saying.
And it's just crazy how that didn't work.
I want so badly in the core of myself to disagree with you because you're talking shit about Fast and Furious, but I just can't do it.
All kidding aside, the Fast and Furious is a really fun franchise, but it plays fast and loose with anything that would...
A lot of suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not trying to character develop. They're not worried about their actors. As Vin Diesel just says the line, good, nailed it. Let's move on. The fact that they're bringing in this director to helm Bond really gets me excited because, as I said over and over again, they really need a different, fresh angle on Bond. Mm-hmm. They got to bring someone in who can take that series in a very new direction. And I think he could do it. I don't think he will do it because I think that they're too far along in production on this thing and this is just a jumbled mess.
Yeah.
But it excites me if they were like, hey, what would you do with the series? And if they give him creative freedom, he can probably do something pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking at his IMDb because I'm not super familiar with him. And it also looks like he wrote the screenplay for It.
Oh.
Mr. Yasmin Theronis says, Cary Fukunaga wrote and directed Beasts of No Nation, which I did not see, but I heard was very, very good. He originally was supposed to direct It. He would have been phenomenal at that as well. He's really good. Really good filmmaker.
Brandon Jones, are you a big Bond fan?
I like Bond. I wouldn't say I'm a big Bond fan, but I'm always down. GoldenEye's probably my favorite. Good game. Good movie. Solid all around. Solid media experience. Really anyway,
got a lot of synergy on that one. A lot of synergy on that one.
I don't know how much of it is just like generational of like, because of that, Pierce Brosnan is like most people around our ages.
Your Bond is very much generational.
Yeah.
Very much generational. Pierce Brosnan was my Bond for a very, like he was the first, well, that's not true. Actually, let me take that back. I floated around Roger Moore for a while and just for the longest time was like, I was just like, he's terrible, right? For the longest time I thought he was just this is just goofy and stupid and dumb, right? Then you, of course, would catch, when I was a kid, this is me being a kid, you would catch Sean Connery's Bond and be like, this is kind of boring, but I understand like he's a little bit more serious with the character.
Yeah.
Then Timothy Dalton was around there and you're like, what the fuck is going on with this? They made cool movies, but you're like, I don't know, this guy's got such a weird chin. It's too much of a button chin. It's just too much. It's just too goddamn chasmous.
The weirdest.
And then you get to Pierce Brosnan, and of course, I was in high school, I think, when GoldenEye came out. Early high school when the game came out. It was a revelation. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And then they drove his Bond into the ground pretty heavily with The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
And all and the and then Die Another Day with the car and all that stuff. Ridiculous. Then of course Daniel
Banging
Craig comes.
Madonna song though for the theme song.
No, I mean like that's the one thing they really have to be fair. Consistently nailed throughout pretty much all the Bond movies is the theme songs, bringing the guest artists to the theme song, and then of course the guest artists to do the motion graphics and stuff like that. I think it's great, but yeah, I mean, ultimately, I became a Bond, probably a Bond fan because of Pierce Brosnan, because of GoldenEye. It made me want to go back and try to gain an appreciation for the rest of the series, and then having done so, going back and starting watching Dr. No, all of them. Really made me gain an appreciation for all the Bonds, including George Lazenby, who was only did one movie. But I do like that movie. I like him as Bond. I like Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's a kind of a bridge between the older Bond movies and the newer like styles of filmmaking.
Yeah.
So you can see a lot of those older styles mixed with the newer styles of the cinematography. It's actually a really cool movie. And then of course I have after reading Roger Moore's biography and just seeing how lovely of a human being he is, I'm like, he's got to be my favorite now. I just appreciate his approach to Bond because he was like, look, I've wanted to do Bond since they were casting this, but he was doing the same, of course, and it never worked out. When he finally got it, Sean Connery had done seven movies, something like that. And he's like, we've already seen that. I want mine to be fun. I want mine to be gadgets. I want mine to be Seiko watches and Lotuses and like underwater, like all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah. I don't want to do the brooding Bond anymore. And people give him shit, but he's like, it worked. And he was very popular at it. And God bless him. But the bouffant hair, man. At a certain point, the hair just went. And he just like took one strand and whittled and just like frozen yogurt and did it. God bless him.
Mr. Yasmin in the chat said, Carrie Fukunaga also has the new TV show for Netflix called Maniac with Jonah Hill and Emma Stone. Thank you for putting those together for me. I saw the name on the list, didn't put together what it was. That also looks like pretty crazy.
He's a badass. And he's got a great, and he picks good projects.
Yeah.
And he's got a great, either his management team or maybe his instincts are just like very good for like, nah, let's go over this way. Let's steer clear of that, which is again, why I'm excited he's doing Bond 25. Mm-hmm. Also, can we get a fucking title for this movie already, Broccoli? I'm tired of calling it Bond 25.
Pretty cool though.
It's cool, but it's just so like sterile. I need something. And I'm just saying this, bring back Adele. That's all I'm saying.
I have no rebuttal to that.
Okay.
Her Skyfall song was so good.
Yeah. Well, then we got Sam Smith for the last one. It was like, oh.
I don't remember.
Nobody does. It was just completely vanilla.
Oh, okay.
He just sang like that.
Sam Smith.
I don't dislike Sam Smith, but they made a lot of errors with Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was Skyfall was already sort of like a ballad.
Yeah.
Then they should have gone with more of a Chris Cornell. Like, this style was just off. We already had that. Why are you giving us that again?
Make it your own.
It's like, hey, you've had your fill of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Here are a few more. And I've never said no to those. But I would consider it.
You're fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Bring up this next news story, Kevin. Dude, 1-2 punch of get me fucking excited. Bob Iger finally confirms Disney is making fewer Star Wars movies. Thank the Lord and our Savior, George Lucas. In an interview, don't thank George Lucas?
No.
He's not the right person to thank?
No.
Well, someone made the right choice here because in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Iger took responsibility for the rapid pace in Star Wars film production and called that early strategy a mistake. Now Iger believes the company did, quote, a little too much, too fast. You're not being hard enough on yourself there, Iger. For those of you listening at home, taking a break to just pour out the rest of the good stuff.
Man, you are really celebrating today, finishing the bottle.
Cannonball.
I mean, you've got some two pretty Nick stories on here.
Cannonball.
We also have two more bottles in the fridge.
Quote, you can expect some slowdown, Iger said, but that doesn't mean we're not going to make films. He pointed to J.J. Abrams' continued work on Episode 9 and Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss' upcoming Star Wars sagas as examples of films still in the works. Notably, did not mention Rian Johnson's trilogy coming up, and I'm wondering if you should read into that at all, or if I just didn't read the whole article and maybe it was in there somewhere. I'm sure
maybe,
it was.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I just like to think that in a war that Bob Iger is just sitting there going like this, that fucking kid, you know? Are you a Last Jedi fan?
Oh, we're getting into it?
No, we're not gonna get into it. Yeah, it's just yes or no.
A simple.
I enjoy it.
Okay.
I think there are lots of problems with that movie, but if you put it on right now, I would smile through the whole thing, have a great time.
Okay. Well, you have a good perspective on it. Yeah. You have a good perspective
safe,
on it.
Safe answer.
You're clearly a well-adjusted human being, adult human being.
I am not.
I am not. Sadly. A point to those the upcoming Star Wars sagas as examples of films still in the works. This jibes with the early reports that further anthology films, such as the rumored but unannounced Obi-Wan film, were what got the axe in the wake of Solo. Quote, we're just to the point where we're going to start making decisions about what comes next after episode 9, Iger says, but I think we're going to be a little bit more careful about the volume and timing, and the buck stops here on that. So taking responsibility. Of course, he also brings up that Jon Favreau's got a series that's coming to TV planned for Return of the Jedi, to bridge the gap between Return of the Jedi and A Force Awakens, which I'm like, eh, do we need that gap bridged?
Yeah.
The gap's been bridged like 4 times. Like,
well, you know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those, he points to that and he's like, we're still doing that. But I'm like, that's an example of something we don't need.
Well, it's funny
in
that
my
he,
opinion.
It's funny that he's like, you know, we're going to slow things down. All we got is this huge TV show and two of these trilogies, just that.
Yeah. We got the 9th movie coming out.
That's pushing
off. We're
really
going to take a gentle approach to the future of Star Wars.
It's unfortunate
because two upcoming trilogies simultaneously.
Yeah, it's. I get it. They got to make their money. They paid $800 billion to Lucas, who was just like, like laughing like Skeletor. He's probably rolling over in his grave right now, though.
Also not dead.
Not dead. Good. Good for him. Good for George Lucas. I get it. But this, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you slow down. These are all already in production. My guess is they were like, okay, we were going to work on an Obi-Wan film. We did have these other plans, and we're just going to kind of zhuzh those aside for the time being. Me, personally, I would be 100% happy if 2 to 3 years we get a Star Wars film. Like, every two years, we get a Star Wars film. Maybe every 3 years, we get a Star Wars film. Take your time with these.
Yeah.
Make them special. It's like a toy, not to quote myself from yesterday, but it's like when you couldn't get that toy when you were a kid, that very special toy that was really well made, and you were like, oh, I have the other one, but I need Luke, I've got Vader, and you went to every toy store, and you finally found it, and you unpackaged it, and it was everything you wanted it to be, and when you were holding it in your hands, you're like, this articulates the way I want it, and it's perfect. Oh, look, he's got a little lightsaber, and everything's perfect. That's great. You know what's not as fun? When every toy store has 4,000 of them, and they all kind of suck. I'm just saying, scarcity is a commodity.
Let's
make them special again.
Like that they've, at least with like the mainline trilogy, have put them out like a year apart? 2 years apart?
2 years apart.
2 years apart? Right. I like that.
Well, yeah,
pattern.
It was.
I don't necessarily think that we needed the interstitials.
That's what I'm saying. And I think
I really did like Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One's fucking great.
Rogue One's good. Solo?
Not so much. Didn't need to happen.
So it's like when they leave the barbecue sauce off of your double Western bacon cheeseburger and you're like, this is just a double cheeseburger now. You know? You left off the thing that was special about this. Why did I come all the way to the Carl's Jr. to get this? And you eat the Criscuff fries and you're like, this metaphor is gone. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I lost it halfway through. They can't all be gold.
It's true. It's true.
What's your read on this?
I'll give you my read.
We have
a very exciting Star Wars release next year. And I'm way more excited than any movie or TV show or whatever.
What is it?
We have this theme park down in Southern California called Disneyland.
Really? I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
And there is a Star Wars Land that is opening next summer.
Interesting.
It's going to be so great.
We got a new ride. You can get alcohol at the bar there.
Wow.
Is there a cantina bar? I'm so excited.
Apparently go into the Falcon. I don't know. I'm like tentative to read up on details because I want this thing so bad.
Aren't they? If I'm correct in this is the one over in Anaheim, California.
Correct, yeah.
Are they also
Orange Groves, now lots of hotels.
Right.
The convention center's there.
I think I've been there once or twice for the prepubescent teen con. VidCon, that's what it's called. Are they also doing in this land a land of Avengers, Marvel's Avengers?
Yes. They're shutting down the Bugs Life area, and they're putting that in. Over where, like, there's a Guardians of the Galaxy Tower, which took over Twilight Zone.
One's in California Adventure.
So do we assume then
that Star Wars Land's going to be in Disneyland, the Marvel's going to be in California Adventure, which is south.
Fucking stoked.
Is it fair to assume then that the rides in the Marvel Land will be fairly consistently good, while the rides in the Star Wars Land occasionally will just plummet my fucking hopes and dreams into the goddamn ground.
Nick, a lot of rides in Disneyland are super old. All the rides in California Adventure are new as fuck.
I also don't think there's enough room in a Bug's life to have like any big attraction.
I'm just saying if I go
it's not that big.
On the Star Wars rides, and one's amazing because it was made by J.J. Abrams, and then the other one right afterward is just the modern day equivalent to It's a Small World. And it makes me halfway through want to just drown myself in that weird water that they have.
It smells so interesting. It's like a grease. Very uniquely Disneyland smell. And
it
I don't know what
like
it
grease.
Is.
It's a fake smell. They pump that in.
The good news is, Nick, the rat ride will be like 5 minutes long. So
okay.
If you don't enjoy it 2.5 minutes in, you don't have much longer to wait.
Okay. Well,
unless
okay.
It gets stuck. That would be the most Nick thing ever to like have a breakdown and then you'd be stuck in it for.
It's
hours.
Just Duel of the Fates over and over.
That's
killing me.
Duel of the Fates is like man. The one good thing about Phantom Menace.
Right?
That's true. That is true.
That'd be dope.
Man, that is true.
Also,
do you have a annual pass, I assume?
Yeah.
So you're going to be there the
well,
first
I'm,
non-blackout day.
I'm not
going to
be there that first day because yeah. You're not going to be able to walk. Through that park for at least 5
And I have a feeling
months.
They're going to change the blackout calendar.
Sure, oh, they're going to change all sorts of crazy stuff. And
so much.
Yeah, they're gonna push us through like cattle to try to get in there. And
I was
and
reminiscing
see
the other day about old annual pass prices. Like the first year I lived in Southern California, I paid $350 for mine for like the second highest one with parking. And now it's like $800. It's bonkers.
First pass I got was in the 90s, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
$110.
What?
For the whole year, done. One payment.
Damn.
For a year at Disneyland.
My annual pass generally costs $0.
You never had one?
Because I go to Disneyland roughly once every 10 years.
Even when you lived in Irvine.
We went to Disneyland
Irvine,
you like didn't 2 years ago.
Have one?
No, God no.
You
live in
so
Orange, if you live in Orange County, you don't go to Disneyland.
That's historically not
you
true at all.
You just don't give a shit about
the
Disneyland.
9 years I lived in Orange
Disneyland
County,
and
I have
barely went to Disneyland. The only time I ever went to Disneyland on a consistent basis was when I used to work in downtown Disney and get drunk with the bartender, and then we would go over and ride Space Mountain until they kicked us off.
I want those stories. I'm going to dig for those stories.
No.
They're not great stories. That's,
I feel
that's
like
it. That's
everybody I knew in Orange County had annual
free.
Passes.
Right. So when it was like raining and no one was there, except for the unfortunate.
Where'd you work? What store?
I worked at the Jazz Kitchen.
Okay, that's nice.
Oh,
it's a good restaurant.
Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen.
Yeah, I did.
They have the good little beignets.
They do have really good beignets. And I used to help myself to them a lot until the cook was like, stop.
Get out of here.
These are beignets. Yeah, I worked at Downtown Disney. And so we got passes. You can get in. It was like we weren't actual Disney employees, but they gave us passes that like if it was, I guess, acceptable, we could go in or whatever. So on rainy days when we'd get cut early, we'd slam a couple back and then take the monorail into the park and just be rapscallions. Like just.
You were those people.
We were just those guys.
Hey, you guys go to Disney a lot. How early are you supposed to like, let's say I want to have a dinner at the Blue Bayou. How early am I supposed to fucking reserve something?
You can do that morning. You can
do
it on the drive over. I think you can do it online. Yeah, you just call online.
I'm going this weekend. Buddy's getting married there.
Weekends are harder.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Saturday, I got like 4 days. This was a couple days ago. I was like, I'll reserve something. Sold out. Like, it's booked out.
Oh, really?
Until like fucking November. It's absurd.
You could walk up day of, though.
I'm going to try that, but like in my experience, that hasn't worked really well.
Gordo Lotto says online reserve, Kev.
No, I understand that. That's what I'm saying.
Kev?
Do it right now, Kev.
Get on it right now. We'll wait.
Look it up, Kev. Wood.
Let's bring up this next news story. Joe, you threw this on here.
I did.
What is it?
This is the teaser trailer.
You just play it.
It's not working. You're traveling to another dimension. Oh, shit. We should get cool, Greg.
A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination.
Illith.
That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
You have no idea how happy this would make him.
Nothing super
But it's
super
on
crazy.
CBS All Access.
Yeah, I know.
Star Trek Discovery's good.
Don't. Oh no. You did
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's right.
Get ready.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know whether or
well,
not
right.
Star Trek Discovery is good.
Okay, okay.
Because I
can separate the conversation between how good a show is and how bad a platform is.
I refuse to subscribe to yet another streaming platform. Right. So I have been waging a silent war against CBS All Access since they announced that I love Star Trek. I was jacked. Michelle Yeoh, come on, son. Super Cop 2, Super Cop 3, whichever one she was in. Yeah. Crash Out Your Hidden Dragon. Another Bond movie that I can't remember right now, but she was in that.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
That's it. I'm in. Let's go. What channel is it on? How can I DVR this? Is it coming to the popular streaming platform Netflix that everyone owns? Wouldn't that be great?
Only in Canada.
CBS All Access. Oh, no, no, of course, yeah. We get reports, of course, in foreign countries. Oh, Nick, I can watch it on Netflix. Because apparently CBS fucking hates America, and they hate us, and they just want our stupid money.
So that last part is true.
I'm traveling to South America at the end of the year. So I'm waiting because I've confirmed via my sources in Chile that I'm not going to Chile, but my sources in Chile, which is as close as I can get because we don't have any Argentinian fans, that you can, in fact, get once you travel and your IP address is in another country. I will watch all of Star Trek Discovery on Netflix. I will come back and then we will review it then. So I'll call you for that.
I just hope you lost that one Argentinian fan who's like, well, fuck, just closes his laptop.
I said that all the time. People get pissed. I was like, oh, well, I got one. There's two of us, motherfucker. I'm never watching this show again. I was like, you'll be back.
I have a question. How much did picking your vacation location come down to if you would be able to watch that somewhere? Like you were
it
like.
It did not. Okay. It did not. It's just, I'm trumping this up. It is just hilarious that. Like, I'll go to other countries, and all of a sudden my queue, all these things pop up on it that I had queued up prior, and they're just not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm excited to watch Elementary again. Love that show.
Okay.
Johnny Lee Miller, fantastic actor. Loved him in Hackers. People are saying, just VPN in. You guys are giving me way too much credit. Way too much credit. You think I'm going to go and VPN in also, to another country?
That's a service he has to pay for, then.
So, at that point, you might as well just... Pay for it.
There you go, Kevin. Now, I have something that other people don't. Okay, maybe you millennials don't understand this. I've got something that was instilled upon me in the 80s. We had four channels to watch, and one of them didn't come through that well. I got patience, okay? I got patience. I will sit and stare at a wall for 3 hours if I have to.
It's true. We've seen him do it.
Yeah, at the airport.
How excited are you for the Twilight Zone?
I am very excited. Love the Twilight Zone.
You a Twilight Zone fan?
Yeah. I'm a fan of the original show, and I'm just always a little nervous when they're trying to recapture something. Am I excited about this because it's going to be like the old show, or am I excited because it's going to be different?
I go back and forth.
Forest Whitaker did a reboot a ways back. And
that wasn't bad,
not
though.
Fairly memorable. I didn't watch it at all, but I don't think it made past one season.
I remember the one episode where it was like a reality show where the daughter got kidnapped, and like the dad was trying to hunt down. Was that not it?
No one. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And at the end, it was like the mom that had planned everything.
Well, spoilers, dude. Now I'm definitely.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna watch it. Nobody's gonna watch it.
You don't know that. I feel like Jordan Peele. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's a pretty good fit for it based on Get Out and what I've seen for his new movie. I feel like out of a lot of different people that could have picked it up, I have a lot of faith in him, so I'm.
Well, it's also an anthology series, so presumably they're going to bring in people to direct each episode that are going to be fun and write. You know, I'm sure they'll have a lot of fun stacking the deck in their favor with great creators.
Yeah.
So it'll be. I mean, that's kind of the original Twilight Zone, right? Which is they get these amazing guest stars, and like Burgess Meredith would be in it. You're like, dude, that's amazing. You know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It could be really cool. I'm not a huge fan of the anthology horror or sci-fi series.
In general?
I could not get into Black Mirror. Black Mirror.
Oh, really? Oh, so good.
That's just it. It's Black Mirror's so good. It's like,
isn't that kind of the Twilight Zone?
Examples
yeah.
of these.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious where, just an announcement like this isn't enough to get me like super excited. I need some cast.
I need some
premises of some of the episodes and.
I was talking to Cool Greg, and I was like, yeah, Black Mirror is essentially the same show. Like, why are you so excited? And he's like, honestly, I just really love the intro. So that's why I felt like this trailer was perfect for him.
You're in the Twilight Zone.
What's that theme going to sound like, I wonder?
Probably the same.
I hope.
If they're smart, that'll be the intro. It'll just look like a cool, updated version of that. They'll still do black and white, call it a day.
I think with this version of the Twilight Zone, we'll get less... Because Black Mirror is so technology focused, I think they'll go in a totally different direction.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's obviously why Black Mirror is so popular right now, right? Because it's really touching a nerve with everyone that's glued to their phone.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Like, every episode I've watched so far is a great commentary on technology. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
Let's go freaky with it. Let's go freaky deaky with
it. I'm excited to see what kind of tone this new one takes.
Okay.
We'll see.
We're getting a little long, but I do want to get to the final news story. Kevin, before we pull this up, we need Marvel Studios expert and our chief comic book expert, Tim Geddes, to come tell us what the hell we're looking at here.
Tim!
Oh, he's coming.
I think he hears this.
I think he's coming.
It's way more fun if we just yell until he's
But when Blair was here,
were you here when Blair was here?
Yeah.
We had Blair Herder on the show. And he was like, you guys just scream for each other? Like, that's how you do it? And Tim Geddes, ladies and gentlemen, back from London, back from the deck.
Okay, this is so weird. I was literally just talking to somebody about this shirt, and I couldn't find a picture of you wearing it. And I was like, I almost want to ask Tim to wear it tomorrow, and then you show up in it. This is blowing my mind.
Oh, there
you
shit.
Now, so
hearing Kevin wail my name is like...
Hey, Joey wailed it, too.
It's man, yeah, but so not many the same emotions.
Degree. We'll see
None of them are positive.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to do the big topic graphic?
Go for it.
It's 11:50, and we're getting to the big topic
now. Yeah, we're going to be fine. What is the, what's going on with... Well, he's here. Our guest is here. He's enjoying the show.
There you go. I'm in the wings.
Yeah. We offered to put him on the set, but he was like, I don't know if I'm going to hang out the whole time. And I was like, okay.
That is not a conversation that happened.
Didn't I say that?
You questioned my endurance.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You said we thought 4 shows would be too many shows.
I did say that.
Yeah.
That is too many shows.
It's a lot of shows.
I don't like doing that many. I don't like doing
that many. We have a 2-show rule here.
We do.
Where it's like people can only be on 2 shows.
And it's not
3 is one, but it ends up happening a lot, though.
The thing is this. 3 is 1 show too many. If you start pushing into 4, you get Krabby Bob syndrome, where people go are start being snippy pippies, and it's like, did you just get snippy with me? And then you go like this, and you go, you've done too many podcasts. That's why. Tim,
yes.
What the hell is going on with this picture?
End game.
No, dude, there's no way that this is an E. An N here.
Did you see the?
Yeah, I did.
Can you click on the full screen of this? Can you just click into the picture? Okay.
You think it's end game?
No, I just think the title. I think the title of the movie is going to be Endgame.
But there's two A's.
Yeah, Avengers Assemble.
You don't think it's Avengers Assemble?
See, I really hope it's not, and I don't think it can be because in Europe that was the name of the first movie.
Oh.
Oh, they fucked that up. You know what it is?
Wait, no,
Europe's fucking everything up. That's why you can't call it the Bake Off.
Change it again. Just call it Avengers
Assemble again.
Yeah.
I guess.
It could
really assemble?
It could be assemble again. There's two ways.
Should I look down to see? Because
the comments are very funny.
The comments are hilarious on this. If you guys aren't familiar, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Shrek. We got
Aaron. That's the one that got me.
Aaron got me. If you guys are, I'm sorry, I forgot to set this up. This is one of the Russo brothers tweeted out a picture that's very cryptic, and we're trying to decipher it right now. What is that thing?
That's just an engine that was in the background. I think they're just like, oh, look, it's the same one. Okay.
It's got to mean something.
That's from Infinity War.
Yeah.
Now what about the markers that are sitting on the back there? Because those are letters, and they don't normally do that.
No, they're
not sitting on the back of what?
Do you see the back markers there?
No, that one's a T.
There's an A. There's an X. You're right. That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Austin?
That's absolutely nothing.
But, yeah, so these are a bunch of fucking jokes and shit, but, like, people have been doing more serious ones as well.
And heads. I love that. That was my favorite. Go back up. Ah! It's just a bunch of A's.
That's good. But someone said Avengers Forever has been like a rumored title, and the Russo brothers were like, or one of them was like, no, but it's close. So a lot of people are like, oh, it could be Avengers Eternal, because there's the A and E very clear on the side.
First off, that's actually not a bad title. But this is ridiculous. The E,
yeah, but
the G, what? There's no G there.
Yeah, there's no
G. They were like, well, I guess the G was
there's a better end game than this.
Okay.
That incorporates, no, it's not that.
Edamame. Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Christ.
But there's one end game that I'm like, oh, that actually kind of looks like it. Then there's a bunch of other ones that do make sense, but yeah, no, there's one that the endgame is actually like in a horizontal line, and it incorporates the marks on the back.
Huh.
I think the name of the movie's Endgame.
You think it's Endgame?
It makes the most sense. I rewatched Infinity War a couple days ago on the flight back from London, and like, man, they say Endgame a lot.
Endgame is a great title.
Yeah.
They would be so dumb not to use that. It's such a cool, perfectly. It's a perfect title. They're gonna have to call it that. After Earth. That's pretty funny.
Either way, I mean.
But yeah, the rumored things, there's Avengers Assemble, uh-huh. Avengers Eternal, Avengers Forever, Avengers Endgame.
Endgame's a dope title. Take it from me. Okay. It's dope.
Nick knows dope.
I know dope. Nick knows dope. I work with Cool Greg and Tim Gettys, so true. I know dope.
True. That's how it works.
All right. True. We got to wrap this show up.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Gettys. You're
welcome. Thank you. My expert opinion.
All right, before we get into tips, PS, I love you, all that stuff, we do have two beautiful sponsors of this show, and I'd like to talk to you about that right now. Slack is our first sponsor. Thanks to Slack for supporting Kinda Funny Morning Show. Slack is a collaboration hub for work, whatever work you do. With Slack, the right people in your team are kept in the loop, and the information they need is always at their fingertips. With mobile apps for iOS and Android that sync seamlessly, you can always pick up where you left off, no matter where you are. Teamwork on Slack, Slack happens in channels, letting you organize conversations and information around projects, offices, and teams. And because everything you need to work to make work happens in one place, it's faster and easier to get things done. We can attest to this. I Slack myself all the stories every morning when I'm at Starbucks waiting for coffee. I just notes to myself.
Teamwork on Slack also works really well, I found.
Slack?
Yeah.
Did I say Slack?
But I find that works sometimes. It's a good motivator.
That's fair. You mean threatening people with physical violence?
No, that's just going straight to the physical violence.
Gotcha, okay. No, well, ladies and gentlemen, Slack's not about that. What they are about is also is connecting you with the tools and services in one easy-to-use app with real-time messaging, video calls, group file sharing, drag-and-drop file sharing, and searchable archives that work with all the apps you already use, like Jira, Salesforce, Zendesk, and Google Drive. With Slack, your team is better connected. Slack. Where work happens. Learn more at slack.com. That's slack.com. Our next sponsor is SimpliSafe. Here's why we're big fans of SimpliSafe here at Kinda Funny. SimpliSafe is ready for anything that gets thrown at you. If a storm takes out your power, SimpliSafe is ready. An intruder cuts your phone line, SimpliSafe is ready. Say they destroy your keypad or siren, SimpliSafe will still get you the help you need. Sure, maybe it's overkill. Maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst case scenario. Maybe that's what makes SimpliSafe. But, excuse me, that's not maybe, that's a definitive, but that's what makes SimpliSafe's home security great, so great, it's always ready. SimpliSafe could cost an arm and a leg, but it doesn't. Instead, they only charge you what's fair. 24/7 professional security monitoring is just $14.99 a month. There's no contracts, no hidden fees. That's why we're recommending SimpliSafe to everyone we know. You gotta check it out. Go to simplisafe.com/morning today. That's simplisafe.com/morning. To protect your home and family. SimpliSafe.com/morning. SimpliSafe.com/morning. Make yourself safe. I put that last part in. I don't like it.
Really?
As a tagline.
Yeah.
Better safe.
Than sorry.
Than sorry. That's good better. Too. Or sleep safe and sound. Knowing that I'm outside but I can't get in.
Or simply sleep safe.
That's a good point. That's
also,
a good point.
Also true.
All right, let's check back in with tips.
I got the tips pulled up.
Go for it.
We have one from Pinzer G2 that says, Brandon Jones, can you share your thoughts on Speed Racer, the movie, and Chick-fil-A? Nick, maybe it's time to reconsider. Do you have strong feelings
about
these things?
Let's see what Brandon says.
Chick-fil-A, I didn't really spend a lot of time in, but one opened up very close to my house. I have enjoyed it several times. Mm-hmm. It is tasty. And Speed Racer is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's so fucking good.
Brandon Jones, you should be over
speed
here more often.
Speed Racer's great. Never a dull moment in that Speed Racer. Listen. There's just never not a thing happening.
Listen, I know
there was
that.
Every single frame of that film, some guy at some computer had to just sweat over. I love the spinning heads that go by. The transition. Some announcer just like, oh my God, look at that. And he's rotating in a desk chair. Love it.
You're picking all of Nick's favorite
parts. Yeah.
I know that we don't work together and that you run your own team of people and that you are your own boss and that you are doing great over at Easy Allies, but you're fired, okay? I'm gonna officially fire you from Kinda Funny. You can come
is
back.
Is it just you? Are you a lone wolf here?
No, I am definitely, first off, I am definitely not a lone wolf of people who did not like Speed Racer. That movie was widely panned by most of the world. You guys were all on drugs when you watched that movie.
It came out before his time. Are you being real bold? You weren't this bold? Scott Porter was here, were you?
Scott Porter's in the movie.
I know.
I'm a shill. I am a shill. I'm clearly not gonna, insult the man to his face, but I let him know via some subtle facial movements that I was not a fan of that movie. His work in the movie, great. Not a fan of it, though. Not a fan of it.
And Nick also doesn't like Chick-fil-A? Is that a thing?
Yeah, we
I think
don't
it's
like
dry
Chick-fil-A.
Rubbish.
It's dry rubbish.
Yeah.
Dry rubbish.
Chick-fil-A sauce is where it's at.
I'd rather eat the wrapping off of a McDonald's hamburger.
I've seen him doing.
Why do you say it like that on purpose?
He's making fun of the way I say it.
I know. Why do you both say it like that? Have you ever had Chick-fil-A sauce?
First off, he says it like that because I said it like that a long time ago.
Bullshit. I say it like that because of, what's that movie called? Not Trading Places, the second one?
Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Yes, which is what we had this conversation like 5 years ago. You're like, why do you say McDonald's? I was like, because that's how they say it.
No, Nick, I've said it like that since a little kid.
Regardless of who said it
Ask
first.
You
Tim.
Stole it from me.
No.
You stole it from me just like you stole the RX, the last RX bar that was
God,
in the kitchen.
Oh, God, it's so good.
You motherfucker.
It's not
you don't know
December
that
yet. It's too early. For the airing of grievances in this office.
Guys, just down the block, Whole Foods, we can buy the RX bars in like giant boxes. Yes, we can use our code and get some sort of discount, but
it's too hard.
Right now.
I like where your head's at.
Right now, we can just get
we're
it.
We're going to the Whole Foods.
Yes!
That's where it is. All right, Neobytes Live gave us 200 cheers as well. It said, these cheers go to all the Easy Ally fans who are kind of funny fans as well and represent these two communities coming together with some love and respect. Woo! Appreciate that. Neobytes Live, though, apparently just refuses to give us the threshold of cheers.
Yeah.
Doesn't understand how it works. I like it. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Good heart. Joe, give us the PS I Love. Do you have that pulled up?
Yeah. So, Kevin, can you pull this up for me, please?
No, I'm good.
PS I Love This Best Friend is where you could shout out people doing cool things in the community. I found this on our subreddit, and it's my favorite thing. Can we enhance so that people can see?
Enhance.
So this was a crew of people that were playing Destiny 2 together. And they noticed that they were both in various kind of funny best friend fire teams, clans. I don't really know what Destiny 2 terminology is.
You gave me
So one said, you kicked our ass, GG. I love KF. Keep fucking that chicken, which is a long-standing kind of funny morning show reference.
Yep.
GG's to you as well. I felt like Alec Baldwin out there all sweaty and bumping into shit, which is another Nickism or Andyism. And then the response is, The Departed is a great movie despite the beliefs of some poor souls. A direct shot at one Nick Scarpino. So I just thought that this was really cool because I feel like normally when you get messages after playing some sort of multiplayer game, it's usually like really not great. So I thought this was a fun little thing.
That's great. That's great to see.
Yeah. So
I will say about Captain Geach, though, you're wrong. And everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Nick also doesn't like The Departed, Brandon Jones. How do you feel with The Departed?
It makes me sad he won for that. Because he's made better movies.
Wolf of Wall Street being one of them, Goodfellas being one of them, pretty much every other movie.
Goodfellas definitely being one of them, but
movie he made that wasn't
and, I actually, when I would think back,
it was a participation.
Huber would be very angry at me when I would say this, but I'm like, Departed was that great? And I rewatched it, and the performances are really stellar in that.
The performances are. Here's the thing. Fuck it. You know what I mean? We're going to talk about this because you're here, and we're going to talk about it. The performances aren't what I had a problem with, and the movie is entertaining. It's not the performances, it's the performances together. It's the tone of the movie that from scene to scene is completely off. It's comical at some points, then intense at some points, then completely farcical at some points, then Reservoir Dogs at the end. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And tonally, I don't like movies that shift that much all around. You look at Wolf of Wall Street, boom, nails it. From start to finish, you know what you're into. We're talking to the camera, we're doing classic Scorsese, it's cocaine in the asshole, it's the money throwing money at FBI agents. And this one, it's 1 second, for whatever reason, Mark Wahlberg's hilariously talking shit to Leonardo DiCaprio, who's like, I'm in this horrible position and you're just making fun of me. It doesn't make any sense. Tonally off. I haven't seen tone that bad since the scene with Louis C.K. and frickin' Bradley Cooper in American Hustle, which you're like, why is this fucking scene in this movie? That's The Departed from scene to scene. It doesn't make any sense to me. Again, an enjoyable movie, just not good, and he should not have won for that. I stand by the fact that he got a participation award that year as an Academy Award. He should have got it the next year or the year, whichever year Wolf of Wall Street came out. They should have just all stood up and handed him the Academy Awards for that movie because he should have got it for Goodfellas.
Slave won the award that year.
It was a good movie. All right.
Keeping you informed.
It was a good, it's a good movie. Solid film. Let's go over to the chat right now.
Oh, man.
All right, if you have any questions for me, Brandon, or Joey, or Kevin, please queue those up in the chat, and we will take those just a few minutes, and then we'll let everyone take a break, and he'll
Are
be back for Games Daily.
There's another tip from Robin GL. Did we go over that one?
Did we?
Wasn't that the one?
I don't think you read it. The Wall of Kevin?
Oh, I thought it was the
same. Oh, he gave us another one. Nick, have you seen the Swedish ending to Finding Dory? Let's hope it makes it past the Great Wall of Kevin. Is it good, Kev?
I'm watching it now.
Okay, Kev, we'll watch that.
It's a little long.
No, it's 21 too long.
Seconds. It's actually not as long as I thought.
All right, let's watch it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Is that it? God, I hope the president's in this.
He is not.
Oh. Or the king, rather.
I don't know if we should play the music.
No, just keep it muted.
You can't even really hear it.
Alright.
Well, I can't, but they probably can. Okay.
Because that means something else to them.
I would assume so.
I think that means end.
Oh, man.
Out of context, things are funny.
Yeah. Man, I love being an American. I love just not knowing anything about other people's cultures and just making fun of people for our own ignorance.
Oh, my gosh.
Damn, Dorius is paying attention to G2. Let's see. Underpaid drummer says, so y'all just not going to talk about Batman's dick? You know, we actually talked about that on GOG yesterday. So that'll be in next week's, I think, right? At some point we talked about Batman's dick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was GOG, the pre-show.
It's a lot.
We did the pre-show, yeah.
Where you just,
Are you a comic fan?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Batman's? Batman,
of course.
His big pearl head?
Like, my wife texted to me, just the headline, and then like 10 minutes later, it's like, did you see it? I'm like, of course, what do you think, did I see it?
Of course I clicked on that link.
It's so indicative of our culture that people are like, oh, we showed half of a penis.
It's indicative, all right.
You don't. It's very. You wonder why they called him Dick Grayson. No, okay, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're better than that, people. You deserve better than that.
That wasn't funny, Nick.
Anyway, it's cool. They drew a dick. Yeah. Batman's got a dick. His name is Batman. That's cool. I just always assumed he had a dick. Now we've seen it. We saw Ben Affleck's dick in Gone Girl. He's kind of Batman. What's the difference? That's all I'm saying.
Were you not equally excited when you heard that Ben Affleck's dick was briefly shown?
Ben Affleck's dick doesn't get me off. It doesn't get me excited.
Didn't we Google it in the office together?
We did. We saw. We for scientific sake, we did.
Sure.
For science, we did.
Absolutely.
It wasn't for any like sort of latent sexual energy that you and I were sharing at that moment.
No, I'm sure not.
It was just because we're fans of Ben Affleck's work as a director, not as an actor.
Some of us like him as an actor.
No, most people don't.
It's questionable.
Well, let's go. All right, you know what? Here's the deal. One of these days, I'm going to just do it. I'm just going to do two videos. One of why Ben Affleck is a great director and a terrible actor, and one of why The Departed is not a good movie.
I don't like Ben Affleck as a director.
Everyone,
I don't know why you're yelling at me.
I'm going to take to my internet pulpit, and I'm going to convince everyone that my perspective is the right perspective.
Nick,
because film is not subjective. It's not subjective.
Nick, sit down and write it, and I'll have Cool Greg edit together something beautiful. Do it, man. That's a great idea.
You know I have to edit my own shit.
I know, but
you know me.
You don't have.
Daddy's got to surf his own wave, you know? I make the wave, I surf it. I can't surf other people's waves. Point Break.
Is that a thing?
No.
Oh. I was like, do I need to rewatch
Point Break?
Anything
that I say a thing? Well, Point Break, yes, you do, first off.
Just in general.
But do not, I swear to God, Joey.
What?
I swear to God, if you come in tomorrow.
I'm going to watch the new one. Right?
If you fucking watch the new one and you come in tomorrow to tell me you watched the new one instead by accident, but it just happened to be good, one of us is eating this controller.
Is the new one not good? Huh?
It's terrible. The new one's actually, it's not a good movie, and it has nothing to do with Point Break, except that one person surfs one time. That's it. Mm-hmm. They totally missed the concept of the surfing culture and why it applies to these guys robbing banks to begin with. And why Keanu Reeves is the uptight FBI guy needed them in his life and how they affected him. Point Break, very nuanced movie.
Was it? I showed you the flowchart.
Yeah. Is it Point Break or is it Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. I was like, yeah, this checks out. This logic is perfect. The only deciding factor is whether or not it has Vin Diesel in it. God bless Vin Diesel.
Mr. Yasman wants to know, Brandon, do you have any thoughts on Daddy's Home, the movie?
I've seen the first one. It's pretty funny, actually. I enjoyed it.
Yes!
Brandon, we were on such good terms.
I've not seen the second one, though. But
you have. I'll tell you one thing right now.
Recommendation from the missus.
Our friendship was so close to over. So close to
over. Oh, am I back?
And you just redeemed yourself. You were 110%
back. But isn't that the way it just takes one thing to knock it down and another thing to bring it right
back? It really is. I can't even remember why we were feuding to begin with. I'll be honest with you.
Your love of that.
Have you seen The House, by the way? Will Ferrell's The House?
No.
Amy Poehler, you'll like it.
Okay.
It's Cillian.
Oh, yeah, it's on HBO right now.
Yeah, they start a casino in their house. It's the stupidest movie, but it's got so many good moments in it.
All Nicholas, right. We also haven't talked about the fact that I saw Grease 2 and you didn't come with me, and I'm very sad about it.
Aww.
You know what?
I have no
there just up. Isn't time. They're just this. We're out of time, everyone. I love you very much. Thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Show. Thank you to special guest Brandon Jones from Easy Allies. If you're not familiar with them, go check them out. They're awesome. He'll be on all of our content all day today. If you're a Patreon subscriber on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can watch him live on Gamescast. I will also be on Gamescast today, I think, talking some Red Dead. It's going to be a doozy. That one's going to do real well. Until tomorrow, I love you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Captain, please cut the feed.